This is the Tom Likas Show.
I didn't even feel no pressure.
Now, from the New Normal Studios in Burbank.
Shit. Okay, that's cool.
Tom Likas. Thank you for tuning into the Tom Likas Show. This is where you hear us live, Monday through Friday, 3 p.m. Pacific Time, 6 p.m. Eastern Time, 24-7 at blowmeuptom.com. You can hear us on our brand new free app. Get us at Google Play, get us at the App Store, or get us at TomEverywhere.com. That's TomEverywhere.com. Thank you for tuning in. Thanks for being part of the program. We appreciate it. Here we are together again. It's you and me. And I'm very excited to be sitting here for another bonus hour of the Tom Likas Show. I'm joined now, as we are every Tuesday at 6 Pacific Time, 9 Eastern Time, by family law attorney Adam Sachs. Adam, how you doing?
Good evening, Tom.
What's going on?
Always great to be here, having some internet fun with you guys.
Are you having internet fun?
No, it seems like the whole station is having internet fun.
Really?
I love it. Yes, you never realize how powerful technology is until it fails.
So, well, that's true. You know, it's as wonderful as it is. You know, it's you can't depend on it 100% of the time. Sometimes it is not perfect.
We just hand our very lives to it, you know? Make sure that we're okay, that no one, like, nukes us by accident or anything like that.
Exactly right.
You know, Tesla wants to have the cars drive automatically or something. Google's doing that. Doesn't seem like such a good idea.
Well, it's actually Google. Yes, Google, and the rumor is Apple, too.
Oh, great. So that's really putting your life in the hands of technology. I'm going to sit in the back seat and go to sleep and hope for the best.
Well, not at this point, but you never know. I mean, in L.A., I've been on the subway. Have you ever been on the subway in L.A.?
Yeah.
You're on a whole train with no driver.
I know, but at least it's got rails or something. It's the limit to where it can go, right?
How do you know when you get to the next stop that it's actually going to stop?
Well, we have to hope for the best. So we had I had a lot of good comments on the show last week. If you remember, we were doing criminal law, and I had this guy on that had a court case coming up, and he was very reluctant to make up his mind about what to do, and so I wanted to talk about some of those themes. I have a couple of interesting cases I want to talk about also with respect to restraining orders, but in particular, you know, it's always nice when people refer me. And I always, you know, think that's a great compliment, a referral. And so I have an interesting case. I have someone on the line, Tom. Nate, I believe.
Nate. Let's see if Nate is here. Nate, oh, welcome to the Tom Likas Show.
How you doing, Tom?
Hey, Nate.
I'm doing okay, Nate.
Adam, what's going on?
Hey. So let me explain, Tom, what's going on with Nate. Nate is not married, so he's all right. Good work there, Nate. not a fool. And he was actually not getting in contact with me to hire me because he's not married. He doesn't have any of those issues. But
exactly.
And I do want you to tell the story, Nate, but I just want to give you a little intro here.
Okay.
Nate had heard of me from the show, and he's involved in P1 and everything. And Nate tried to refer me to a guy in his office who apparently was really facing some serious problems and sort of crying about it to the other people. And Nate had a little light bulb over his head that maybe this guy should try to talk to me. Right, Nate? Something like that?
Exactly.
So what happened? Tell us.
You know, I'm at work. This was a couple of Sundays ago. And it's toward the end of the shift, and this guy I work with, and I really don't particularly like him. I think he's kind of a dick, but, you know, he was sitting there kind of all depressed and stuff. And so the end of the shift happens, and I'm going out to the parking lot with another coworker, and this guy comes out, oh, man, they took my kids. They took my kids right in front of me and all this shit. So this other guy who gets along with him better than I do is just asking him about it, and I'm just standing there listening. And from what I could hear, because I was kind of pretty much tuning out, but one thing I did hear was that Child Protective Services came and got his kids with the police, took his daughter, I guess she's like 16 years old, went to go take his son, he was like 2 years old. He tried to step in and intervene, and they maced his ass and took him down.
God.
And so, you know, that happened.
Unbelievable.
So now they're, you know, and just all this stuff about how his ex tried to stab his daughter with some scissors and all this kind of crap. She's nuts. And, you know, and he, you know, he wants to get his kids and everything. So I'm just thumbing through my phone, and I'm like, okay, let me go ahead and refer Adam. So I said, hey, man, look, this guy can help you. He's had a lot of success. Give him a call. Okay, sure. So,
all right, so hold on now. So see, Tom, yeah. this is the craziness of it, right? I mean, leaving business aside, leaving money aside, whatever, okay? You know, here's someone, obviously, who's, Nate isn't very close to them, maybe, but he knows the guy. And here's someone who's in a lot of pain. Here's someone who's having serious problems, family law stuff. He's having family violence and the police at his house, and he got maced by the police. I mean, it doesn't get much worse, okay? And so Nate gives me – but this shows you how hard it is to help people sometimes. You know, it's crazy. Nate gives me this guy's phone number, and this guy knows that I'm going to call, okay? So I call him on the phone. You know, I call him right away because I want to help him. It feels like it's like a, you know, developing situation. And I call him on the phone, and he plays it like a chick. I say, hi, can I talk to Tim? And he goes, who's this? You know? So in other words, it's him, but he thinks I'm a bill collector or something, you know? He says to me, who's this? You know? So I explained who I am. I said, I'm a lawyer. I'm calling, you know, recommended by your friend Nate. He goes, F you, and hangs up on me. You believe it, Tom?
Oh, why?
this is like real life, man, you know? So.
Unbelievable.
Well, you know, it's like, I guess some people, you know, build up walls around themselves, you know, and they're nasty to strangers. You know, there's some cultures where you're supposed to invite the stranger in or whatever and, you know, make them a meal or something. And then we have culture where, you know, when you figure out who it is and then you start being nice to the person because they're a friend of a friend or something. But, you know, when you're sort of with your guard down and you're not expecting or you don't remember or whatever, and this, you know, stranger knocks on your door, you tell them to get lost, you know? I feel like the analogy is like, you know, here I am, the doctor, and I've got the medicine that this guy needs, and I'm trying to give it to him, you know, and he won't take it, you know, and it's really harsh. It's really frustrating. So anyway, I ended up getting Nate to get back to him, and then whatever, I let it slide. I called the guy again. Maybe an hour later, and now he was more open. He called me back, whatever. And he goes, listen, I didn't realize who you were. I'm sorry. And he tells me his story, and it's unbelievable. He's losing his children, and he's in a terrible situation. And he again, it's the same kind of thing. Nate, how do we explain this? It's like he has like an arrogance. What's the word?
Arrogance, you know, hard headed. You know, it's one thing to be proud, you know, and that's fine, but if you're in a situation where you know you can't help yourself, for example, if I'm going to do some wiring on my house, I'm not going to tackle that shit by myself. I'm going to get killed. So I'm going to hire somebody that will do the job and do it right. So when you're in over your head, somebody's trying to throw you a life preserver or whatever to save you, and you're just like, no, I'd rather sit here and drown, you know, and, you know, that's how I feel this guy was acting, because he knew that I was giving him an attorney's number, you know. It's not like it's just somebody I know, some hack or whatever, but, you know, he's like, okay, fine. And then for him to act like he did when you called, it doesn't make any sense. And then, you know, now he's, I'm sure pretty much if he hasn't lost his kids, he's well on the way.
Well, I double checked the case. He did lose his kids.
Okay. See, but I'm not surprised.
The thing that was weird about it is when I was talking to him, he was telling me the thing, and he was sort of doing this thing that this other guy last week did, where he was sort of, you know, downplaying it. So I was saying, I was more upset about it than he was, you know. I was saying, oh my God, you know, this is really serious. He assaulted a police officer, you know, things like this. And he's telling me, well, it's not that big a deal. It's all going to blow over. You know, the social worker promised me, you know, he's saying these like things that make no sense. And, you know, I was saying to him, you know, you got to be careful that you don't go into denial. You don't want to pretend when you got to deal with it that it's going to go away, because it's not. And I kind of got into this energy with him where I felt like he was treating me like a salesman, you know, where, you know, he had, it was like Sunday. He had court on Wednesday. So it was only a couple of days, and he hadn't filed any papers. He hadn't prepared his witnesses. He didn't have his evidence. Nothing. He was literally walking off a cliff. And he said to me, you know, I'll call you when I'm ready. You know, I was thinking, Tom, when you were talking about, you know, meeting a woman and sort of like test driving the Lamborghini.
Right.
Where the salesman at the Lamborghini place says, you know, what's it going to take to get you into this car today? And you say to him, let me think about it. Give me your card and I'll get back to you, you know, which is just BS, right. You know. I really felt like that's how he was treating me. That I was saying to him, holy smoke, we got to start doing this. You got your case in 3 days, man. This is really scary. You know, I always misunderstand this myself because I think that people are going to get hysterical, especially when it comes to their children, you know? I mean, if my kid's custody was being taken away from me, I would find that really, really freaky and upsetting. I can't imagine anything more upsetting. And you think people would be willing to, you know, lay down their lives for their children or put down, you know, whatever money it takes or whatever. And I'm sorry to say that a lot of the times it really isn't like that. And here is a guy that was actually pretty calm about what was going on, and I was telling him it's so serious, and he was treating me like, you know, Mr. Hard Sell. I think he even said that to me at one point. He goes, okay, I got the hard sell. Thanks a lot. I got your number. I'll call you when I'm ready, you know? Which Tom was like, that was like dealing with the car dealer, you know?
That's right.
So I wasn't going to push it. I just said, okay. I said, listen, man, you know, this is unbelievable. Please get in touch. He never did. I followed up and checked, the case online. And all of the stuff that was against him was granted. So he got absolutely screwed. I know he got screwed. And what's unbelievable, again, and this was something that connected to Nate, it wasn't just someone out of nowhere. He was given a good recommendation of me by one of his colleagues, right, Nate?
Right, exactly. And for me, you know, I'm doing this with somebody, like I told you, I don't even really like the guy, you know.
All right.
I mean, this wasn't even like
doesn't
a
have to be a love affair,
mine,
you know.
Buddy, whatever. This was a coworker that I really didn't give a shit about, but I was like, okay, this is another man, you know. I hear about this kind of stuff happening, and I'm sitting there trying to, you know, do the guy a favor and give him a way out of his situation. And,
listen, it's,
you know,
it's a tragedy for him and his family either way. Come on, you got to have some empathy, you know.
So I don't feel bad for him. I mean, it's tough for his kids and stuff like that, but, you know, it could have went different for him. So
he could have been a lot smarter.
Yeah. So
now, one of the things that we were talking about, Nate, and this is, you know, we are afraid of no controversy on the Tom Likas show, right, Tom? You promised.
Right.
this is something, you know, and again, you know, we try to be, you know, treat everyone equally and everything, but there is a certain other thing going on here, Nate, right? I understand you're an African American, right?
Right.
And so was this guy.
Right.
So do you think that there's a factor there? Now, before you even answer that, something that I've talked about in the recent past is some of my experiences with Hispanics, and that's obviously a very large category. But when you talk about some of the cultural attitudes, there are certain things where people in other cultures have strange attitudes about some of these things, where they think, you know, hiring a lawyer is a waste of money, or the system's against you, so it doesn't even matter if you hire a lawyer, things like that. Do you think that relates to any of this?
Well, I can say that, you know, as far as myself and other friends I have, you know, we're proud. We don't like to appear weak. And other than that, I don't think in this guy's case, I really think it was just being stupid. I mean,
yeah, but I mean, does it show weakness to ask for help?
No, it doesn't. But see, you know, I have other African American friends who have kids, got baby mamas, and all this kind of thing, would do anything for their kids. Okay,
right.
If they were going to lose their kids, they would take whatever help that they could get to get their kids back or what have you.
Wow, that's
this guy
how,
was
that's
just
how
being
be.
An idiot.
Right, right.
This guy's just being an idiot. And, you know, and he had a kind of a street life and the gang banging and all like that, but that's a whole nother world that I never got involved with. I had both my parents growing up, and I was taught, you know, that you had to be a man, but at the same time, you know, to be a man, you have to admit sometimes that you need help.
Right.
And, you know, and especially, well, like I said, you know, he knew I was going to refer him to you. He was okay with it. And then when you call him, he totally, you know, gets this whole other attitude going.
Right.
So,
awfully strange.
Know, yeah.
I really could have helped the guy. That's the heartbreak. And, you know, people will say right away that, you know, we must have disagreed about money or something. We never even got into a conversation about that at all. We didn't get that far. His attitude was really rotten. And, you know, I always try to work with people. I work out payment plans. God knows, you know. And when he was just talking about the simple reality, it was a 16-year-old girl, but he also had an 11-year-old son. And they were obviously going to be taken away from him permanently.
Yeah.
And, I mean, that is so devastating to any parent, you know. And he actually didn't do anything. It was the wife who had pulled the scissors on the girl.
Right.
It's a whole crazy story.
Right.
But he gets nailed also for being neglectful and also for getting into the confrontation with the police on the scene. That's a very serious offense. And that was in front of the children and whatnot. And so, I mean, the guy really could have been helped. And I could have really changed the outcome, I think.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's so heartbreaking. You know, there is no doubt about this. I mean, in the United States, they show this statistically. But, I mean, when you go to jail, you see so many black faces. It's just how it is. There's a greatly disproportionate number of minority people in jail than should be in terms of statistically how many there are as a percentage of population. It's much,
right.
much higher in jail. And when I go to court, you know, on any morning, and this is also heartbreaking. You know, I go to court for, like, I don't know, DUI case or whatever, and there's me and maybe 20, 30, 40 other cases. And, you know, there's a couple of private counsels, and I'm representing generally, you know, people that have more money, people that are more educated. And then you see the rest of the people, and there's an obviously disproportionate number of minority people, blacks and Hispanics, and they come without lawyers. I don't know how they could do that. I don't think it's strictly economic. I think it's also philosophical. I don't think they understand the importance of having lawyers and what it means and what a lawyer is going to do. But ultimately, when they come in, you see how differently it goes for them. Whereas me and some of the other private lawyers are getting our cases dismissed, getting the charges reduced, etc. And then, you know, if you stick around a few more minutes, these guys who come without lawyers are getting the shaft. I mean, there's no two ways about it. They're getting screwed. I mean, it's incredible to watch. And we do seem to have a two-tiered system of justice, which is not how it's supposed to be. But at the same time, you see how, you know, however you do it, that you reach out to this guy, you know, you being his coworker and then me, you know, being your referral to him. And on some level, you know, he doesn't want help. Now, I'm going to have this next week, whatever. Next week I'm doing criminal law again on Tuesday. And I'm going to have a really interesting guest who had a DUI case, and I got it dismissed, so he's very happy. We're going to talk about that. But he was saying to me, and he's going to talk about this next week, that when he hired me, some of his friends actually made fun of him and said to him, "What are you wasting your money on a lawyer? Why are you being so stupid? You know, it's not going to make a difference, you know, blah, blah, blah." And I cannot believe that people have that attitude. That's amazing to me. And I just I'm really surprised by the resistance, right, Nate? I mean, Nate, you said you were raised by both your parents, right?
Right,
but
right.
You wouldn't go to court without a lawyer, right?
Hell no.
Okay.
Public defender, no.
How do you know that?
But, I've seen it in my family. I've seen it with other people. You have to have good representation. It's just a must. And, you know, like you said, you can work out the money and payment details later. But, but you need to have somebody who knows what they're doing is going to be able to, because you're talking about a life-changing situation. If you don't, if it doesn't work out, you're screwed. And, I took your number because, well, I don't have any kids. I've never been married. I don't have no crazy ex, but you just never know. And if I had ever been in a situation where I needed an attorney, yeah, I would have dialed you and be like, hey, you know, I need some help. So let's talk. What do I need to do?
I really appreciate that.
And yeah. I'm not just saying that because I'm on the show. It's just, that's, like I said, that's my philosophy. I believe that. So,
I'm trying to do the right thing also, and I mean, I have a skill set where I can really make a difference in people's lives. Now, obviously, I'm not doing it for charity. I'm doing it, getting paid and everything. That makes sense. But at the same time, there's a part of me that feels a real pain. You said that this guy was, he was a gangbanger or whatever. He's got some stupid background. Okay. But I spoke to him. He was a smart person. He was not a stupid guy. And he understood the ramification and whatnot of what was going on. He was no fool. And it wasn't that he was, disrespectful. It wasn't like that. He didn't insult me. He wasn't an asshole. He was okay. But there's something fundamentally missing in his thinking. He's got some kind of cognitive disconnect that he doesn't understand, what we're doing here and what a difference it could have made. And when I think now, after the fact, I've said this in the past that a guy like this will call me after he's lost in a couple of weeks and say, what do I do now? And that's really, a much more difficult problem at that point. But it just makes me sad that the ultimate story is, some guy, for being ignorant is going to lose his kids. I can't imagine, in any other reality where the price for being stupid is so disproportionately high.
Right.
That's it.
No, and the guy's not stupid. I mean, you talk to him, he has some sense, but he's got, he has too much pride. What's that saying, pride comes before a fall, something like that? It's just like, hey, you need help. Ask for help, accept help.
Yeah, I don't relate to that. I don't know what to say about that.
Yeah.
I mean, it's nice to be prideful, but I mean, in proportions.
Yeah.
But anyways, I just really appreciate you thinking of me. It's a big compliment.
Oh, not a problem, man. T1's got to stick together,
No, I appreciate it. I get a lot of nice referrals from people, and I really think that's the ultimate compliment, really.
Hey, can I make one comment about, just briefly, Tom, about another show you did? Because it's the only show you ever did where I was like, what the fuck, really?
Well, let's just take 10 or 20 seconds out because, we got Adam's thing and we got people who want to talk to.
Go ahead, Nate. Yeah, why not?
It was just the whole thing about our dog's racist. And I was like, man, shit, come on. I've got a Rottweiler. Me and him are buds. Ain't no such thing as a racist dog.
I've had people say that about their dogs.
So what, that the dog can tell the difference, Tom? You think so?
I have had people say this to me. My dog barks at black guys. They say it. I don't know. I don't know if it's true that that's what they say. Now, they use as the example the FedEx guy or the mailman, but you know what? I don't think it matters what color they are. The dogs hate that.
Yeah, they always bark at the mailman.
Doesn't matter. But there are people who swear that their dogs are they know the race of people, and they like certain people, and they don't like other people.
Wow. Well, I don't know about that. I
don't get
say,
it, but I hear it.
Whatever ideals we have as Americans, and it really is true. I'm sorry to say, I thought that we were in the post-racial era once we had President Obama that everyone was going to forget about race. But it seems like people are more divided than ever, And
by the way, I spoke to a, you're going to laugh, an animal psychiatrist.
Oh, my God.
People take their animals in when they're depressed.
What was that movie that was Down and Out in Beverly Hills? They had the
But you know what? There are people like that. There are people like that. And I spoke to one of them. And he told me that it's not that dogs are racist. It's that dogs emulate the behavior of their own.
Oh, no! So
and
what is that?
See patterns.
So the racist owner?
Even if you have unspoken feelings about people, you don't even have to convey it with words or by saying anything. Dogs sense it, and then they react to it.
That's true. That's true.
So wait a minute. That is
why Nate's dog loves him because he's Nate's dog.
Uh-huh.
Right.
But if your racist neighbor has a dog and the dog is barking at black people all the time, there's a reason for that.
Uh-huh, because he's emulating his owner's attitude.
Correct.
Oh, that is special.
I agree with that. That I agree with.
Well, okay. I got to tell you, Tom, you haven't lived until you're in court, okay, seriously. And at the front of the room are three or four white people with their lawyers, and they're all getting their cases dropped. And then you have another 30 blacks and Hispanics all getting screwed, okay? Seriously.
Right. And so the question in that case is it racism or is it that blacks and Hispanics are more likely to say, I'm going in there without an attorney?
I have to say that it probably is this, I'm going without an attorney, but that's got to be based on something that can be fixed. That's got to be some kind of cultural ignorance that's becoming racist because when you go to jail, Tom, I swear to God.
I got to be honest with you. You know what? When you see Ferguson on TV and you see some of this other stuff that goes on Baltimore, I can understand why somebody would say, it doesn't matter if I have an attorney, I'm screwed. When people are being harassed by the police all the time and the police get away with it, I understand why they might believe that they're screwed. But in this case, we're not talking about criminal behavior or alleged criminal behavior. We're talking about it's not quite a criminal act, more civil act, I guess. You're going in and arguing about custody or arguing about child support or whatever. Well, the ones who go with attorneys, they win. I don't care what color they are. I don't care.
Yeah, of course.
Having a little dinner here.
Yeah, sorry. I kind of noticed that.
Yeah.
But I mean, yeah, but so you know, Nate here is saying that this all comes down to some kind of pride. That you're less of a man if you need help, if you ask for an attorney to go with you. And that's how can that be so ridiculous? Well, that makes no sense. And if the system,
I'm proud to have a large stable of attorneys.
I understand. Large. I'm one of them. But I mean, if the system is racist, Tom, you know, then you're already coming in with a disadvantage. This person who's going to come on next week, I'm telling you, he hired me, and his friends were teasing him. And they were saying to him, what are you, stupid? Why are you wasting money?
Right.
I mean, that's hard to believe. You know, I've heard in some situations in some of the, like, cultures where if one of the sisters goes to college, they make fun of her. Chris Rock told jokes about that. That it was like, you know, going to school was something that people were, like, you know, joking. Oh, you're getting your master's degree? You know, why are you acting white? I mean, what's that supposed to mean? Come on, Nate. Stick up for your people here, man.
Nope. Okay, well, I'm sticking up for what now?
I don't know. Represent the African Americans, please.
You know what? Here's the thing. I'll tell you, back in the at the beginning of the riots, 91, 92, whenever it was, and that whole thing with Reginald Guinea. His name was Football, threw a brick at his head or something like that.
God.
Beat him up pretty bad.
Yep.
So I had a guy I was working with at the time, and he was El Salvadoran, and I was telling him how wrong and fucked up that was. And he's like, well, how come you don't support your people?
Uh-oh.
So this dumbass is, you know, what he's thinking is, okay, it's okay to do wrong as long as, you know, he was black and I'm black, so I should support him, even though he did something wrong and fucked up.
Oh, God.
You know, that's like everybody thinking that Jesse Jackson and Al Sharpton are the king of black people, and they just represent everything we think.
I saw that on South Park. They said, who made Jesse Jackson the emperor of black people?
Exactly. But you know, a lot of people think that whatever they say, we all believe.
I know, but when I see, you know, being Jewish, when I see a Jewish person fuck up on TV, it makes me feel worse, you know?
Why?
I don't know. It's like my people. Oh, man, you know? And it turns out the killer is a Jewish guy. It's like, oh, shit, you know?
Well, I can be proud of the fact that there are a lot less black serial killers.
Oh, great.
Not that there haven't been some, but most of them, no, they're not black.
Usually white guys, so. Right? mass shooters tend to be white boys, yes, no doubt.
Yeah, so
the angry, loner white guys. We've seen a few.
Yeah, because I wasn't allowed to go into my room and shut out the world. If I had a hard day at school, I had to talk about it. I had to come out and be like, what's your problem? You know, but if you allow your kids to go shut themselves in their room and play video games or whatever they're doing and they don't want to shut out the world, then you have kids who go to school and shoot up everybody. Wow. You know, so.
I hate to interrupt here, guys, but we have to take a break at
Thanks,
some point
Tom.
Here.
Okay.
So I waited 30 minutes and then I said, you know what? I'm stepping in.
Thanks, buddy.
All right.
Nate, thank you. We'll take a break. We'll come back. We have callers. 901-3000 Tom is our telephone number. More of your telephone calls coming up.
iHeart, this app, a lot more. Download the Tom Likas app now. 901-3000 Tom. This is the Tom Likas Show.
The Tom Likas Show. 901-3000 Tom. Again with Adam Saxon, a bonus hour of the Tom Likas Show. Let's go to Dominique in Long Beach. Dominique, you're on the Tom Likas Show with Adam. Hello.
Hello.
Hey, yeah. Dominique, what's up?
Hey, what's going on? You guys, how
Not
you guys
much.
Doing?
What are you doing over there?
Oh, sorry about that, Tom. I was in my studio just working on a couple of beats and stuff. Anyway, I didn't know I was going to go on so quickly. That's why you caught me by surprise. But, you know. Anyway, I wanted to tell Adam, first of all, that I didn't know that he works in the Long Beach courts as well until the other day. When I had a problem like a year or so ago in the Long Beach courts, I would have called him. But now I know. So if I have another problem, I'll give you a call, Adam.
For sure.
Yeah. So also, I wanted to make a comment about the courts being filled with the blacks and Hispanics that don't have representation. And this is also the reason that the prisons are 65% filled with black people, too. It's because, for one thing, black people don't feel we can afford it. That's the thing. And a lot of times they can't afford it. You know, and then when you talk about, I know Adam takes payments and things like that, but, you know, a lot of black people don't have really good credit either. So I think that's one drawback. And if it were me and I was facing some serious charges, this is just me, I'd do whatever it takes to pay Adam to represent to tell you
no,
the truth.
No, I appreciate that.
I wouldn't hesitate. You know what I mean? I happen to have okay credit. I'm not in that situation, but I'm just telling you how a lot of people in the black community are. I can't really speak for Hispanics. But if I was a brother and I was facing some serious charges, I would want a lawyer like Adam to defend me and go in there and I'd do whatever I had to do, basically. But a lot of black people don't see it that way. They see it as like, you know, it's too expensive, it's an expense, you know, I'm going to have to, you know. So, and also the second reason, too, is because in the black community, sometimes we don't really trust people who are like lawyers and people like that. You know what I mean?
Seriously.
So, yeah, it's a kind of a thing where, okay, you're working with the court, so we don't really trust you, that type of thing. And sometimes you can't blame black people for that, but sometimes it's just ignorant.
Wow.
You know what I mean? So, you know, this is why a lot of black people go without representation. This is why we have such a high, that's one of the reasons we have such a high prison community that's black and Hispanic. Another reason is over-policing. They over-police the black and Hispanic areas. So when you got the white guy rolling down the freeway with all the meth and everything in his trunk, they're not going to stop him. But if you are in the bad section of Long Beach and you're black and you happen to have a nice car, they stop you all the time for nothing. I've been stopped many times. I have a Lexus, you know, and they just stop me for no reason to see if I'm a drug dealer, basically. And I'm not, but, you know, I have to get the cops stopping me and shining the light in the car to see if they can find anything and having any reason to search and all this other stuff. They over-police the black communities. That's what they do. And that's why we have the situation that we have. But I just wanted to explain that because a lot of black people want to admit it, but we don't really trust lawyers and things like that.
Well, one of the things, and I know this sounds crazy now, but when I was growing up, you know, one of the things that the Cosby Show represented was middle-class blacks. I think she was a lawyer and he was an obstetrician, as I recall. And, you know, they sort of introduced that. So, you know, when you say black people perceive that they don't have the money to hire a lawyer, I mean, that's, I don't see how that's true. I mean, they're as middle class as anyone else. I mean.
Well, you have to realize that the middle class blacks don't necessarily get stopped or get arrested to the extent that poor blacks and Hispanics do, because, of course, the cops are going to go where the low hanging fruit is. Right?
Yeah, but don't forget, this case that I'm talking about today with Nate wasn't even a criminal case. It was a custody case. The guy was going to lose custody of his two kids. So,
do you know his situation? I mean, what kind of income does he have? Where does he live?
He worked with Nate. He was in a pretty middle-class kind of job. And the thing that you say, which I could accept it, your second point, which was that, you know, they don't feel the system is fair or the lawyers aren't going to be fair. I mean, your lawyer is looking out for you. You're going to get screwed by the prosecution. You're going to get screwed by the state's lawyers. Maybe the judge is going to be biased. The whole system might be biased. But that's even more reason that you need to go in with your own lawyer, because if you're not, then who's sticking up for you? There's got to be someone on your side in the whole place. I mean, I talk to people. Listen, court's scary. It's scary for me, okay? And I've got a lot of experience. Court is really scary. And the whole place is you know, if you're standing there and you're looking around and there's jurors and there's judges and there's guards and bailiffs and clerks and, I mean, prosecutors, you got to be out of your mind not to have at least someone there protecting you who's advocating for you. That's your own attorney.
Absolutely. I understand what you're saying.
But the black perception is that even your own attorney is against you?
Well, not necessarily, but it's just that people in suits bother people.
Really?
I know this guy wasn't from the hood, but,
if I dressed down, I'd be better off?
Maybe, but, you know, that's not really the main point. I mean, I'm just saying, you know, they see you as part of the establishment, maybe, is what I'm saying. But but you're right. I mean, there's no excuse. I mean, the point is, I don't think it's clearly defined in most black people, lower class black people and Hispanics' minds that this person is working for you and this is how they're working for you. I don't think that's clearly defined. I mean, they may have a notion of that, but I don't think that it's like, you know, it's just, you know, there's a lot of things like this in the black community and Hispanic community that don't really make a lot of sense, but it's true. You see what I'm saying?
I feel like I'm very cool. I give you my phone number, you know, and I answer emails. I'm trying to be down to earth with people. So I'm not. I don't think it's fair that that the lawyer's got a suit on and he's like talking down to me and he's, you know, this highfalutin attitude and all that. You know, I don't know if that's reasonable. I understand the cultural difference. I don't mean to. I'm not trying to be insensitive to it. It's just mysterious to me at some point.
Well, my analysis of what is going on with this guy who you talked to Nate about, his friend, is from what I can hear, it's not so much that he doesn't trust you. It's just that he doesn't think he can afford it. I think that's it. I think he thinks it's going to be like thousands and thousands of dollars or something. And he's not going to be able to afford it. Maybe that's the thing.
I know we never talked about money, but even so, if it was thousands of dollars, I mean, it's your kids, man.
Yeah, that's true. Like I said,
you know, I'd sell my car. I'd sell everything for my kids.
Me too. I mean, if I had to, you know, fight a custody battle for my children, I had any, I don't. But if I did, I would do whatever it takes. That's just me, though, you know. But maybe he's just trying to, like, get by with as little money as he can on the situation, which is not really smart. That's not very smart, but. Maybe that's the mentality. If like what you say is true, that he's like has a middle class job or whatever, then that's the only thing I can think of. Because why wouldn't you? He's just afraid it's going to cost a lot of money, I think.
Yeah, I think you're right.
You know, and maybe you should have just told him, hey, look, average cost for this is this, and I can work out payments with you. It's no problem. You know, I mean, give me what you can give me right now, and then we'll work it out.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, that's the only thing I can think of. But if it were me, I'd do whatever I had to do in order to get it done. But that's just how I think, though. You know?
All right. I really appreciate it. Thank you.
Yeah, okay. Thanks, Adam. Appreciate
you, Dominique.
Appreciate you, too, Tom.
Appreciate that. Thank you so much. I'll take a break here. We're going to come back with Adam. More of your calls coming up.
iHeart, this app, a lot more. Download the Tom Likas app now. 901-3000 Tom. This is the Tom Likas Show.
The Tom Likas Show, the bonus app. At 901-3000 Tom. We are here with, as we are in a week, family law attorney Adam Sachs. And we say hi to David in El Cajon. David! You're on the Tom Likas Show. Hello.
Hi. How you guys doing?
Great.
Hey, David.
Question for you. Actually, two questions for you, Adam.
Sure.
I've been seeing a woman for about 5 years. We're not married, and she's doesn't have a baby or anything like that.
Good.
But generally, we've only spent about 2 days a week together. She comes over on her days off, and that's pretty much it. But it has been several years. The first part is, could she come back and say, well, those days have added up, and so that's basically a year or two's worth of relationship, and I want something out of it. Could she do that?
Broadly speaking, no.
Super.
The danger, generally, letting her stay at your house even a couple of days or whatever, is if she's crazy and she accuses you of domestic abuse or domestic violence or something like that, then she's going to want to try to get the house from you or some nonsense. But, you know, that's why Tom always says, you know, go to the girl's house. Don't have her come to your place. And
Right.
You've been with her for, what, 5 years? That's a long time. But California, Adam, are you calling from California? I'm sorry.
Yes, I am.
California and most of the states do not recognize any kind of common law marriage. There are certain states where, Pennsylvania, kind of old school states, where if you live together a certain number of years or you spend a certain percentage of time together, you can actually at some point be considered legally married. I mean, actually. So that would change, obviously, property rights and a lot of other factors. But California is not like that. And the thing I would be, you know, this is not for you maybe, but for the boys in general, if she had kids, which I guess she doesn't, but if she did that were not yours, and you were spending, you know, two or whatever days a week with them, the danger there is that there's a certain point where you could start being considered their father. You know, they're what they call the putative father or whatever, or some kind of, like acting in a father-type role. And the danger is then that were you to break up with her, she could try to get child support against you. So you got to play it smart. You got to play it really careful.
Mm-hmm.
Have you ever gotten in any kind of crazy confrontations with her?
Not really, no, but actually that does lead me into my second question, because I'm becoming a serious student of Likas 101 and MGTOW, and I want to break up with her and go my own way. But what the thing is, what is the best way to do that? And the reason I asked that, like, I wouldn't want to bring her here and break up with her because she could step outside the door and say, hey, he hit me, or something, you know, ridiculous like that. So it's like, is it, I guess what I'm trying to say is it's best to do it in a public place somewhere.
Well, and people break up now by text message. But, I mean, if you've been seeing her for 5 years, I mean, you know, why are you breaking up with her now? What happened? I mean, you're just sort of out of the blue? You're just sort of feeling different?
Pretty much so. Basically, she very much wants to get married. I very much don't.
Oh, wait a second. And wait a second. you didn't mention that before.
She's basically a marriage. She's wanted to be, serious the last 2 years, and I just kind of never really discussed it with her. And it's like, this is not fair to her, and it's not fair to me.
No, I understand.
I want to see other women, and she should go find someone who wants to, and I think it's time to break this up.
You kind of implied, I thought, what you were saying in the beginning, you know, was that, you know, you've been sort of dating her for 5 years, and it wasn't, you know, too serious or whatever, and you know, she wasn't really pushing it, you know? That's kind of that thing where Tom says, you know, hey, we got a good thing going. Why screw with it, you know?
No. Well, you see, the thing is we do work at the same company, though not in the same building. So
hold on a second. That's very naughty also.
Exactly.
Know.
So I'm kind of trying to get my life together to the point of I don't want any of this. I'm going Lycus 101. I want to.
No, but what I'm saying is, hold on a second. What I'm saying, when you talk about, first of all, you should never date at work, but I don't know exactly what you're saying with the different part of the company, but, you know, if you guys are in the same company, one of the ways that she can try to hurt you if she's angry, and she's obviously going to be angry, is to make some kind of a human resource complaint against you, that she could say that you harassed her at work or you did something to her at work or something. You know, is that a possibility?
I would say no. She does never impress me as having done anything like that.
No, but I mean, do you work together in some way?
Not really, no. So, in fact, we're even on different shifts, which does make it nice.
All right. Well, you know, just generally speaking, you know, you have to think about, you know, not humiliating her. You don't want to be doing it in a way that's awful. It's probably a good idea to do it in public. In a restaurant or in some kind of public place, you know, in a park or something. So she freaks out. It's not like you have to, you know, call the cops and throw her out. You know, she's already out. You know, Sam Kinison had a really funny routine years ago that he talked about, you know, you should never break up with a woman. You should make her break up with you. And the way you do that is you stop showering. You start doing all kinds of drugs. You know, you start acting really crazy. You demand kinky sex or whatever all the time, and she'll get so exhausted of it that she'll say, look, I can't see you anymore. You know, it'll be on her rather than the opposite. So that's something to consider too, I would think. But,
I guess I could just stop being so nice. I mean, that would probably.
No, if you stop being nice, if you act like a jerk, that'll probably turn her on even more, and she'll be more desperate for you than ever. The smart thing to do if she's an intelligent person, I don't know how smart she is or whatever her deal is, you know, to talk to her about the circumstances that, you know, you have obviously different goals that she's talking about. She wants to get married for the past couple of years, and you realize you really don't ever want to get married and you don't want to have kids, and it's not fair for you to strip her dreams away from her, you know, by preventing her from doing what she really wants, and that you can remain friends and all that kind of nonsense, you know?
Oh, wow.
Be a diplomat.
You don't want to
humiliate her. A lot of guys, when they tell me the story, I know, but it's crazy, when they tell me the story of, you know, how they broke up with a woman that ended up leading to a fight, which ended up leading to a restraining order in prison, is usually where they humiliated the woman. They broke up with her on Thanksgiving in front of her family, or they had sex with her first and then they broke up with her. You know, they did all kinds of crazy things where the woman was just, you know, felt that she had been discarded or whatever. And that's, you know, that's crazy from a whole different point of view, because then she's going to be angry, and women are very vengeful and spiteful, and she may try to get revenge against you. So
yeah, and she has a lot of friends at work too. So.
Oh well, there you go. I don't know if they're gonna put the screws to you, you know, professionally. That's why what Tom always says is you don't get involved with someone, you know, related to work. if she has a lot of friends at work, then she's friends with your boss. She can get you demoted or something, right?
Who needs that? Put in a bad word.
Yeah, I don't think that's not a very good idea.
Yeah, well, it'll never happen again. I learned my lesson.
All right, be careful.
So, yeah, definitely.
What do you say?
Right, well,
what do you say, Dr. Likas?
You know what I say. There's no girlfriend.
I know, but
and there's no one spending time at your place.
Nobody's got the one from work. I mean, that's like 10 times worse.
That too, but there's no girlfriends. Why?
He also is talking about 5 years, Tom. So she's invested. She thinks that he's the one, you know?
Yeah, exactly. That's the problem.
Yeah.
You could end this anytime you like.
Yeah, I just have to bite the bullet. I just wanted to make sure that, getting away from anything legal, but being that, she knows people at my work, I just have to take the risk.
That's a nightmare.
But I don't know how long you've been listening, but what do I tell people about that?
Yeah, don't do anybody at work, and I really wasn't a student back then, so it's, by the time I was, it was like, oh, well, serious, you know.
Seriously, I mean, think about the danger. If she's, brokenhearted and she goes hysterical, she's going to go on a rampage. She could really screw you up. You got to be careful.
Yeah.
Keep her away from sharp objects.
There you go. Okay, I'll try and handle as best I can, and thank you so much for your advice.
Of course.
All right, David, thank you. Okay, Adam, tell everybody how they can get in touch with you.
Well, you can call me toll-free at 1-800-340-7320. That's 1-800-340-7320. You can check out my website, www.adamlawyer.com, and send me an email, which I love, and I answer them personally, adam@adamlawyer.com.
Love it. All right, you can look for Adam every Tuesday. He comes in for the bonus hour. It's every Tuesday at 6 p.m. Pacific Time, 9 p.m. Eastern Time.
Free at TomEverywhere.com. Download the Tom Likas app now. 901-3000-TOM. This is the Tom Likas Show.
From the New Normal Newsroom, it's time once again for Likas 101 News for Guys. I'm Gary Zeno.
This guy's just a funny sleazeball.
Brought to you in part by Beer Magazine. Go to blowmeuptom.com. Click on the Beer Magazine banner. Get your Likas discount to a year's subscription to the now fully digital magazine devoted to beer.
You better believe it.
Beer Magazine, the internet says that Taylor Swift farted at the VMAs. On camera. And there's apparently proof.
And you know what? After watching it, I hate to say it, but yay.
They did this really uncomfortable thing where they presented some of the awards before the show, like on what they called the red carpet. It really wasn't a red carpet. And none of the people that received them knew what to do. And then there was Taylor Swift accepting one of the awards and with all her fucking super hot friends. And she farts. She farts.
I think so. Like, I'm serious. I think our girl did.
She has farted.
And it doesn't take away either from how hot she is. For some reason.
Yeah. She is extremely annoying. There's just nothing sincere about her at all. Which I don't give a fuck about.
On,
I don't.
Come on. Now.
You know what I mean?
Please. This is Tate.
She's just so full of shit. And even in the middle of a fart, you look at her and you go, "Ah, you're so full of shit. It's coming out your ass."
She got rid of some gases. It's fine now. Come on. Yeah.
So what? Are those broads are in like her new video or
yeah,
something?
Yeah, I think there's so. They're one, like the dancers.
There's one
to the right.
Yeah, the blonde to the right.
Oh my God,
she's just ridiculous. I was staring at her all night. Every time they did like an audience shot, I would like fucking I'd stop the DVR. I'm like, wait a minute.
Wow.
I want to go back to that.
Hit the brakes. And she's legal, so it's not like we're looking at anything.
Yeah.
Man. She's legal.
And she's wearing like this loose, flowy top, but no bra, obviously. Oh, shit. Jesus Christ. If only I were Kanye.
I'm going to let you speak.
I'd have a chance.
I'm going to let you speak.
Bro.
Bra.
Bra.
Yeah, he takes it to the bra level.
Totally to the bra level.
Our friend needs a little sit down, but we'll get to that another time.
He's fine. He's Kanye. Let him go.
almost drove past them the other day. I should have said something. Okay.
Your boy Lenny Dykstra accused of stealing $50,000 in jewelry from one of Charlie Sheen's former porn star friends.
Yeah,
that, that one he was actually engaged to be married
to.
Yeah,
Brett Rossi. This is
in,
our girl.
In 24C. She's a whore.
What is it?
Janet
Rossi.
Janet Rossi.
Two R is a whore.
Those Rossi girls, I always mix them up. I don't know who's the whore and who's the porn star.
Janet Rossi and two R is a whore. Do you hear me? Yeah, but this is terrible. This is terrible for our friend Lenny Dykstra, who just can't seem to get a break. Everybody's just piling on the dude. In fact, in the article I'm reading, it says convicted felon and legendary scumbag.
Dude, nobody. I mean, there's nobody in the world that likes Lenny Dykstra. There's just no one. I mean, yeah, he's definitely the most hated person ever.
I used to like him on the Phillies, and then that went south.
How did that work for you?
God damn. But it's pretty low to have allegedly stolen here.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Master P apparently won't rest until his estranged wife is homeless, phoneless, and penniless, according to his ex-wife,
Sonya Do you think
Sonya
this is
Miller.
A divorce that's going along smoothly? Because I don't see that at all. Master P definitely doing all he can to drag this out. Because he definitely doesn't like this baby mama at all.
Sonya says Master P pulled out the big guns last week in their divorce war by having security guards block her from entering their Calabasas home, where they live with their seven children.
Yeah, seven children.
Seven children.
Master P continues to pay the rent, but in documents filed last week, our girl says he's threatening to stop paying. She also says he cut her off with the cable and now the cell phone.
Right.
By the way, our friend's not done. He's also going to have her SUV repossessed. And basically, this is going to force her seven children to walk in the blazing summer heat of the valley, possibly aggravating her hernia and vertigo.
Yeah, whatever.
Wow.
Finally, a pig alert for you. Charlie Rina's at it again with the 138 water. This time, 100% topless and in a cowboy.
Come on, this you got to admit.
Listen
this,
to me. Topless and in a cowboy.
You got to admit, this is the jackpot. This is it. It doesn't get better than this.
Holy shit, what a shoot this is.
Our girl is just at an all-time high.
I don't know where to look. Front or back? Down or up? What do I do?
All over.
What do I do?
Our girl is ridiculous.
Plenty more news for guys.com. That's going to do it for us. I'm Gary. He's Dino. Plenty more news for guys.com. Or check out the podcast. GaryandDino.com is where you find a brand new show every single Friday. It's GaryandDino.com from the New Normal Studios in Burbank. We're back to the Tom Likas Show right after this.
This is the New Normal.
Well, and on that note, I'm out.